Well, we'll start with a word of prayer, then we'll begin. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for being so good to us. And thank you, Lord, for your plan for us individually and as a family, as a couple. Lord, thank you for bringing us together with our spouse. And Lord, thank you for our children, or for perhaps, if you desire, our future children. And Lord, I pray, Father, that you would please guide and direct me, guide and direct us. And I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would speak to us. And Lord, that you'd give us ears to hear. And I pray that we'd be Holy Spirit led. And Father, I pray that you would apply your word to our hearts according to your desire and our need. And I pray, Father, that something or some things that are shared could be, could edify, could be a help and a challenge or maybe even a comfort. And I pray, Lord, that even through our mistakes and the lessons we've learned, I pray that it could be a help to someone or all present today, Lord. We ask you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, today's topic is parenting without losing each other. And a pretty interesting topic. I want to begin by asking, who has children 0 to 5 years old? 0 to 5 years old.
Zero.
Or zero. Amen. And how many 6 to 10 years old? All right, some of you repeat offenders. Let me see, 11 through 16. Wow, you guys, I think, take the prize, huh? You got every category. Okay, so a lot of 0 to 5, though, which would make sense if you're coming here today. I want to start off by reading Psalm 128, verses 1 through 4. It says, "Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways, for thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands." And I think that's key. "For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord." As we enter new stages in life, we are confronted with many different challenges, many that were not foreseen, and sometimes foreseen, but not at the levels that we expected. And so I want to talk about first, and there'll be times where I'll defer to my wife if she wants to add anything, because she would probably be even better at teaching this than I would. No, but she has a lot to offer. I think as we enter new stages in life, I think it's important that we understand, first of all, what is our purpose as Christians. If we were to enjoy what this passage describes, which is a home where God is worshipped and God is exalted, and we're able to benefit or enjoy the benefit or fruit of the labor of our hands, we have to first understand our purpose. We have to have the right foundation. If we don't have the right foundation, that we will not edify or construct correctly. So it all begins with what's having the right mentality and the right purpose for our home. And that's number one, understanding as individuals. So what is the purpose of the Christian? Number one is to know God, and we can't forget that. Everything that God allows in our home, everything that God allows in our life is for the purpose of knowing God better. It's to know God better. So we cannot forget this key fact that God is intimately involved in our personal and daily life. There's nothing that catches God off guard. And if it makes it to our home, our life, it was filtered first by God. So, and it has the purpose of us knowing him better. Jeremiah 9:23 says, "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might, let not the rich man glory in his riches." He says there's many things that we could maybe exalt ourselves or even be proud of, but he says, "But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord." He wants to be known by us. He wants to be known by us. So we must understand that everything that makes it to our lives is so we may know him better. and that it would result in worshiping God, that we would worship God and everything that comes into our life, that we would give thanks. It's not a natural reaction that when something goes wrong, or at least in our mind or in our perspective, if it doesn't go right, to worship God through it and thank the Lord for it. Nevertheless, if everything that God allows in our life is to know Him better, we must worship Him and thank Him when whatever situation happens. To thank Him and say, Lord, thank you. It allows me to know you better. How? That's our next point. By depending on God. So our purpose as Christians is to know Him better, worship Him more often, and to depend on Him in everything. Depend on God. We must depend on God. Jesus said in John 15:5, He says, I am the vine. Don't forget that. This is a very important concept and a very important point. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. That He sustains us. He provides for us. Let's not forget that. Our wife, our husband cannot provide for us what only God can. I am the vine, He said. Ye are the branches. Psalm 146 says this. And this is a great passage to kind of just meditate on often, to remind us and put us in the right perspective on a daily basis. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. This is what I want to emphasize. Verse 3. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. Why does that apply? Because we could easily begin to think that our children are meant to provide for us those things that we seek. But he says, put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. We are here to minister. We are here to serve. We are here to bless. Our children cannot provide what only God can provide. Our husband, our spouse, I say our husband, obviously speaking for the ladies, right? Our spouse cannot provide for us what only God can provide. And we cannot forget that important thing. Because many times I think we seek and we ask of our children and of our spouse to provide what only God said He can provide. He is the vine. We are the branches. We must depend on Him. We make a huge mistake when we ask of our spouse to give us what God never said they could give us. And what they weren't created to give us. What only God could give us. So we can only find true satisfaction in God. We could only find true peace in God. I think this is an important foundation for us that we must understand. Because once life starts going at 100 miles per hour, we could easily lose perspective as to what is everyone's role. And we must come back to remember, everything that I need comes from the Lord first and can only come from the Lord. So I must learn to know God, worship God, depend on God. Everything we need is found in the Lord, not in a person or people. So don't let your children, don't let your spouse have the wrong place in your life. They are not meant to be worshipped. They are not meant to provide or supply your needs. God does that. Keep God in the right place. Keep your spouse, keep your children in the right place. Because it creeps in. They easily creep into the wrong place. Be careful we have to come back to the Lord. That's why our daily walk is so important. So God says in a psalm, He says, I have to apologize from the beginning. Most of my verses, a lot of my verses are memorized in Spanish. So I have to think English verse, and sometimes I might translate, not correctly according to how I was finding the King James Bible, right? So, but He says, examine me and know my thoughts. That we must come back to the Lord and say, Lord, examine me and know my thoughts. Try me and know my heart. Am I okay? Am I putting something, someone in the wrong place? Am I seeking to worship my children, worship my spouse? Am I not worshiping you? Lord, examine me. I need to make sure I'm in the right place. But that's why we need to come back to the Lord on a daily basis. Everything begins with our relationship with the Lord. Everything ends with our relationship with the Lord. If that is not in the right place, we are setting ourselves up for failure and discouragement, and we're going to feel hopeless. So it has to start there. Please do not neglect that. You cannot neglect that. And I cannot emphasize enough the importance of our relationship with the Lord. If you're going to succeed in your marriage and you're going to last, you have to have a relationship, because that's what where the constant adjustments are going to be created, and you're going to be notified that you need to make some adjustments. Before I go on, is there anything you want to add to that? No? Okay. So what is the purpose of the Christian? To know God, to worship God, to depend on God. That has to be our foundation. Number two, what is our purpose as a spouse? You know, I wasn't raised in a Christian home. So when I got married, I thought this is going to be great. I'm going to get everything done for me. Everything will be supplied for me. I'm going to get served. I mean, this is going to be awesome. And then I became a Christian, and God kind of had to slap me around and make me realize. And I'm not saying that my wife didn't do a great job of doing those things, but the truth is, I had the wrong mentality, the wrong focus, and the wrong thought process. And God had to show me that my purpose as a spouse is not to be served, but to serve. When I came to that realization, it was a shock. I was like, wait a minute. What? Like, I thought marriage was supposed to be about my happiness and about what I receive. And I started realizing that the closer I got to God, the more delight I found in serving. I did not find that apart from God, but as I got closer to the Lord, and when I am close to the Lord, I find delight in those things. When I'm not walking with the Lord closely, I don't find delight in that. I want to be served. And that's why we have to constantly come back so we can make those adjustments of the right mentality. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2 says this. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. It says, be ye therefore followers of God. That word followers literally means imitators. Be imitators of God. How does God love us? He loves us by giving, by sacrificing. And the more he gives and sacrifices for us, the more we respond to him and wanting to follow him. We all know that verse, or at least I've heard it. We love him because he first loved us. And that drew us to him. Imagine what that would do if we responded by responding the same way to our spouses and our children. But, so, be imitators of God. How? Encourage your spouse. Compliment your spouse. Help your spouse. Bless your spouse. Why do I say that? Because when you're in the beginning stages of your little ones, all of a sudden your life turns upside down. There's a little general that comes into your home. And they're going to want to just rule that home. And you're going to have the right perspective as to who goes where. Now, when baby comes into the home, they're very needy. They don't care if you've worked all day. They don't care if you're tired. If they're hungry, they want to eat now. If they're tired, it's all about them. And that, in the beginning, we have to understand that this is a season, and seasons are temporary. And many times what happens with men, they start becoming jealous. Some of the men, I'm not saying all, they feel like, why are they getting all the attention? What about me? You know, you forgot about me. And we become big babies. We do become big babies, maybe not all, but some, where we start feeling neglected. But we have to remember, once again, part of that blessing is she needs help. And many times we want to make it about ourselves, like, well, hey, what about me? And we start pulling away. Many times as men, I don't know if our wives always understand that many times we shut down, sometimes because we're being big babies, but sometimes because we don't want to say something that might be offensive or hurtful. So we just don't say anything. When the truth is, that's when we need to talk. Now, ladies, on the other hand, they're very good at talking and being very honest and frank. And sometimes we take it as hurtful. And that's where we need to understand that we need to hear the heart behind the words and not just the words. Many times as men, we just hear the words. And we're very sensitive. And we get hurt. Our feelings hurt very often and very easily. But we need to remember that there's the heart behind it Sometimes the words aren't, they're trying to transmit a message. And we need to hear the heart and not pay attention to the words. Does that make sense? And it's funny, the ladies nod, the men didn't. Because it makes sense to them. That many times they're trying to say, look, I need your help. I need this. And many times we focus on how it's said. And I understand that. There's a place for that. But not really listening to the actual message is trying to be said to us. And instead of pulling away when you draw closer in those moments, because that's what they need. They need that encouragement that way. They need to. They need us to compliment them. They need us to help them, bless them. Be ye therefore followers, imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us. I will get to the children, but right now as a couple, we are that first team. Before there was any children, there was a spouse. There was a couple. Before there was any babies, there was a wife, there was a husband. And it starts there, and we must not forget that that's the first team. That's our first team. We're a team. And we need to attack this life as a team. We could easily become individuals competing against each other when we're a team working with each other for one goal. And we'll talk about that goal in just a minute. And then Colossians 3:18 and 19 says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Because back to that relationship with the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. It's interesting that it says, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Why? Because once again, it comes back to we're not able to express because we're afraid of hurting their feelings, so we hold it in instead of talking to what we're feeling and processing as to what we're feeling, why we're feeling it. We're not good at understanding why we're feeling it. So we'd rather not talk about it because we really don't know the why. Ladies are very good at understanding the why they're feeling what they're feeling and processing feelings and emotions and even putting it into words. We can't put into words many times. She might even ask us, well, why are you feeling this? And we're like, I don't know why. To be honest, I don't even know what I'm feeling. I think it was this. And then she'll kind of process it with us. And we're like, no, it wasn't that. I think it might be this. And process it. No, it wasn't that. And sometimes we don't know why. But it's good to talk about it. Why? Because it draws us closer to our spouse. The worst thing we could do is not talk about it. And as men, we don't like to talk about it. We feel wimpy sometimes. Men, it's okay. You're not a wimp. You need to talk about it. Because she needs to hear and understand that you're not pulling away from her. You're just trying to process the situation. You don't want to hurt her. But she needs to hear that from you. She needs to talk through it. Because you're a team. It's your purpose as a spouse to serve and bless and imitate God. You take initiative, men, to make sure that you draw closer to her and to bless her, encourage her. Ladies, talk with your spouse. Talk with your husband. Don't assume that you know the motives. Ladies, you don't know the motives. I know you're very perceptive. Ladies are very perceptive. But sometimes that could be your greatest enemy. That because you think you're perceptive, you think you actually are always right about what you're perceiving. You are fallible. You can make a mistake. You're not always right. So ask, talk. But don't say, you're doing this for this reason, right? Or I know you're doing this, but ask. What's going on? You might actually know, but ask. Questions draw openness. Declarations make a man close up. Ask questions. Ask questions about what's going on. Men, don't be afraid to talk about what's going on. So your purpose as a spouse is to depend on the Lord and serve your spouse. Depend on the Lord. Receive of the Lord what your spouse needs so you could give to your spouse. Receive, give. The moment you disconnect from the Lord is the moment that you start depending on what you could provide. And once again, you cannot provide what the vine can provide. He is the vine. We are the branches. So we must stay connected in order to give what our spouse needs. The moment we disconnect, you're running on fumes. And you can't provide for them what only God can provide. And then that's where frustration comes in. Because you're saying, I'm trying. You're right, you're trying, and you're going to fail. You need to stay connected to the Lord. We receive of the Lord to give to our spouse. He is worthy to serve and worship and obey. Therefore, in obedience to him, we serve our spouse. Because he is worthy. Sometimes you'll feel my spouse isn't worthy for me to do. Well, you're serving him, the Lord. So then you serve your spouse, even when you feel they're not worthy. Because it's not them that you're worshiping. You're worshiping the Lord. You're serving them in worship to the Lord. Does that make sense? God is using your spouse. Now think about this. God is using your spouse to make you godlier. If your spouse was as perfect as you would want them to be, you would not cry out to the Lord. And you would never feel a need to cry out to the Lord. Your spouse is imperfect on purpose. And God brought your spouse to you because that's the instrument, the chosen instrument by God to make you godlier. Yeah, it's like a carpenter, a surgeon, any job has specific tools for specific jobs. And your spouse is God's instrument to make you godlier. He could have chosen somebody else, but he didn't. He chose that spouse because that's the instrument he wanted to make you godlier. Thank the Lord for your spouse. Thank the Lord for your spouse. And you need to cry out to the Lord on purpose because you can't. You can't make it. You need your spouse to make you a godlier. And men, since your wife is perceptive, she's going to sense and see some things that you don't. That's okay. Praise the Lord for that. Listen. Listen and then evaluate and then act. She's going to be able to see some things like with your children. My wife is able to perceive things with our children that many times I'm just oblivious to. I don't even sense it. I don't see it. But she says, have you noticed, such and such child, how they've been acting? No. talk to them. Ask them about this. And then I go and ask and kind of start digging, acting, like I'm just everything okay. And it's amazing. She sensed something I was oblivious to, but because of our conversation, it comes out. And they're better for it. She's perceptive. Listen to that. Don't be so prideful to think, no, you're just thinking things, or you're crazy. You're always seeing things that aren't there. No, she's perceptive in areas that you're not, because you need her. She's your God's instrument to make you godlier. So listen to her. Evaluate. And then respond. God has gifted her in areas that you're not gifted in. And sometimes, ladies, your husband will see some things that you perhaps didn't. Listen, evaluate, then respond. He might see and sense something that you don't. Anything you want to add to that?
I think what Alfredo said about the husband serving the wife, many times, especially nowadays because the roles are being reversed in society, we can take that as women and take advantage of it. So if I could say anything to the ladies, I know when you have little kids and you're, dealing with diapers and maybe another one in elementary school and another one in, junior high or high school, it's a lot of hats that you have to wear and you expect husband to help. Just kind of remember that they're also dealing with their own issues, that they not always voice them. Men are not as good communicators as far as their feelings as women are. And so when you do expect the men to help and, say, serve me, bless me, compliment me, let's make sure that us as women are doing the same. Because we can get into that rut of you're always at home with the kids. You only speak kid languages. You don't talk to adults many times. And then you expect to be served, but then we forget to also serve our husbands. And that's where I think the enemy comes in and starts making that separation where I just want to be served and blessed and provided for, but we forget that he also needs that from us. And I think it's a big, that's a big tug of war, and especially young marriages when you have little kids, because you're so busy with trying to raise them and, keep your sanity as a mom. If you have a bunch of small kids, it's even harder. That we forget that we're there for each other. And just as much as he should serve me, I should serve him and bless him and love him and remember that I'm supposed to be his helpmeet to make him a better person, not only a better father, husband, but also a better Christian. And that's something that, we just have to, as women, keep in mind. We hear all the time preachings about husbands serve your wives and love them, but there has to be a balance and also reciprocate that serving and that loving from us, from us to them. I think, many years ago, it was the different type of Christianity was it was very different. It was very machoistic, to where we went to complete the opposite. So now it's, you know, the woman's very, you know, trying to take all the control and take all the love and affection, that we can lose that balance. It's basically what I'm trying to say. Just make sure that we also, as women, give back. And I think the men, because they're reading the word and learning and reading books, they're learning about our emotions and our needs. That let's not us as women forget that, you know, forget that also. Because the purpose of marriage is, or your spouse, is to bless each other and get closer to each other. Because at the end of the raising of the kids, it'll just be you two. And if you don't encourage your marriage and, you know, nurture that marriage, it's not going to be a happy, empty nest.
And when the babies are little, guys, just remember it's a season. It's not forever. So understand that, you know, the baby's throwing up and they just feel all gross. Just be conscious and sensitive of that, you know, and just understand it's just for a season. There are seasons in life. And so just try to help out, and that intimacy will return. It's just not at that moment. And that's okay. That's okay. You need to remember that it's about serving the Lord and receiving the Lord to be able to give to your spouse. There might not be intimacy like within the week after the baby's born. It's okay. It's okay. Relax. Just remember it's a season. Next point. And we'll have some practical suggestions in just a moment. Number three, what is our purpose as a parent? Ephesians 6:4 says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." So it's our job to train our children in the Lord and to draw them and train them towards the Lord. It says in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, in the instruction and correction, instruction and correction. It's okay to correct our children. I see a lot of that where we're seeing less and less correction in our children. We're afraid to tell our children that something's wrong, and we're afraid to correct their behavior. It seems like it's getting more and more common to see children behaving wildly and just blame it on, well, they're just boys. Blame it on, they're just little. That's your job as a parent, to instruct and correct, to make them, help direct them towards being godly. Chaos is not godly. Misbehavior is not godly. That's why we exist. Not so they could tell us what they need to do, so we could tell them how they should live. We are there for a purpose. So to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, direct them towards the Lord. Other people's properties is not their property. So we shouldn't allow them to treat other people's property how they want. Let's teach them respect. If we teach them to respect authority, beginning with our own, they will be able to understand the authority and fear of the Lord. And the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. But if they don't have fear of authority, they will not have fear of the Lord. And they will not have wisdom. And it's okay to tell your children no. And please, don't be so distracted in conversating with people that we don't pay attention to our children. Our children are before the conversations with adults. Sometimes at church, we could get so distracted in conversating with adults that our children are running around, stuff is on fire, things are being destroyed, and everybody else sees it but us. And then don't be telling my children no. Well, then maybe you should, you know, because that's our job, to instruct and correct. So I've thought about it. How is it that the parents were able to have their kids in control years ago, but now they don't? And I think many times is we're more distracted now. We don't like our children to distract us from our tablets, from our phones. We get frustrated with them when they don't allow us to watch our programs. Well, we're called to instruct and correct, not to distract them with their own tablet, their own phones. We need to put them down to fulfill our purpose that God has given us in instructing and correcting our children. We have a short time. When I got here in 2006, we had two children. One was in second grade, and my daughter was, I think, 3 years old. 3 years old. Now my second grader is a 26-year-old. My 3-year-old is a teacher here at the school. Time flies, and I'm a grandfather. I know you're thinking, you're a grandfather? I know. I don't believe it. I know, I am. But if time flies, you have a short time. Take advantage of it to instruct and correct, and you will reap the benefits. My daughter was a hard one. I think God sometimes allows us the first one to be a little easier, so we could have another one, and then he laughs. So our first one was a little bit more complacent, and like he was just, he was a people pleaser. Our second one, she was not. And there was many times my wife would call me crying, this little girl just doesn't listen. She doesn't listen. I tell her not to touch something, she'll challenge me and touch it on purpose. But by God's grace, which is the major part of it, God's wisdom, and instruction and correction, she's now a wonderful young lady. But it took work. You have a short amount of time for that work. But our job is to direct them towards the Lord and guide them to be godly. The Bible says in Psalm 127, verses 4 and 5, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with enemies in the gates. He compares them to arrows. The Lord paints a visual image by comparing children to arrows. As arrows, they must have a target, salvation and godliness. As arrows, they must be balanced. This requires vigilance from both parents to be observant and have the right goal in view to determine that they are heading in the right direction. As arrows, we desire for them to go further than we did. That requires discernment from us and from them. We must train our children to have discernment. 1 Thessalonians 5:21 says, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. This requires evaluation to determine if something is good or bad. This requires action to hold on to the good and discard the bad. We cannot train them to have discernment if we do not have it ourselves. That means we must be in God's word, because Hebrews 5 says that when we don't practice using the Bible in our daily life, we lose discernment. We lose discernment. He says, we should be mature by now. He says, you should be teachers, but you're not. So I have to talk to you in simpler terms, because you're not mature enough to be able to understand the more complex things I want to teach you. And because they lacked discernment, because they didn't use God's word on a daily basis. If we don't use God's word on a daily basis, we cannot train our children in ways that we do not know ourselves. We cannot train them discernment if we do not have it. And so when we lack discernment, we allow our children to watch things they shouldn't. We allow our children to do things and participate in things that they shouldn't. I'm going to interject this part. One of the things the Lord has helped us grow in discernment in is, now, I like sports. I grew up playing sports, watching sports. I like sports. This is just something that the Lord revealed to us. And this is something that we would do different now. I'm talking about personally. We had our kids involved in every sport possible. And at one point, my oldest son and my oldest daughter were playing sports at the same time. And we were involved every season, sports season of the school year, we were involved in something. Sports kept them busy. Sports were fun. We made some great memories. One thing we didn't have during that time is a lot of family time, a lot of dinner table time. I enjoy that dinner table time with my kids. We talk about how their day is going, how was their day, and they talk about just things start coming out that we didn't have those conversations during this very, very busy season that we chose. We chose to put ourselves in that busy season. It wasn't something external that we had no control of. We put ourselves in there because we think we need to keep them busy. Well, we did. But we kept them away from us as a family. Does that make sense? We have to be careful. Like I said, this is something that the Lord gave to us as a family, that did we make some great memories? We did. But there was many times that my wife was in one place, I was in one place. We get home about 9, 10 p.m., exhausted. We ate on the road, and we get home, and kids just go straight to bed. And we didn't have family time. Depending on the sport, sometimes there was more than one game a week. And we were very disconnected.
Can I say something? Now, we were connected to our children. Like, if I took one of our kids, I was connected to that child. But then your marriage starts feeling that separation.
Yes.
So you have to really guard the family. And I know you're hearing a lot of parenting in this class, but because of the fact that once you have kids, everything surrounds that. It goes around that. And as you parent, the example he's given about sports is, as you're parenting in that busy time, we had to reflect and stop and think, okay, many times we had those conversations, we're too busy. We're feeling the strain, maybe not arguing and fighting, but you start feeling that
distance.
I'm not as close to you. I don't feel that, you know, I love him, but we don't sit there and talk and conversate. You know, I don't hear him laughing, or he doesn't hear me laughing, or he doesn't catch that, oh, that bothered me. Because we're not as connected, because we're so connected in doing and running and making sure that our kids are so successful, quote unquote, that we forget each other. And it is our job to raise our children to love the Lord and be God, you know, godly people and successful, you know, members of the community. But at the end of the day, we have to make sure that we're protecting our relationship. And when you get so busy and living that life, and it's so busy running to do everything, you tend to lose each other. And not to say that you're on the verge of divorce, but as a wife, you want that connection. I know we hear a lot of love and respect, and, you know, he needs respect and I need the love. Well, we are not going to be able to connect that way if we're always separate. And it's a good thing, but it's not necessarily always the best.
You have to be careful just not always doing that you forget about being. And we have to be something, but if we can't connect, we can't be that. We can't be connecting this way to be able to connect this way. And if we're just running, just be careful of that. You know, however that applies to your life. Guard against it, however that applies to your life. But be sensitive to that. Be sensitive to that.
If I could go back a little bit on the when the children are small and being the one that, most of the time mom is the one that spends the majority of the time with your children when they're small. Dad's at work. And I know moms now work too. We're busy. But the majority of the time, you're the one that's there when your child needs to be disciplined or being taught. And so the chaos, what he brought up about chaos also separates relationships. Husbands don't want to come into, even I don't want to come into a situation where everything's chaotic. So everybody kind of runs to their own corner. And that also separates marriages. If your home isn't, and it doesn't have to be where it's a perfect home. You know, I know many ladies are very organized and, you know, they can have a perfectly organized home. But if there's that chaos there, even if it's a perfectly organized home and your kids are just not paying attention or chaotic, that divides and puts a wedge in marriages, relationships also, because everybody just kind of runs to their own corner because they don't want to be dealing with the chaos. So if you do have the small children and you're not disciplining them, or teaching them, there's a certain place for everything. You know, you play at the park, you can, you know, yell outside, but in the home there's a different ambience. And if you don't control that, then that can also put a wedge in relationships. I know in our home when it's, you know, when my teenagers or kids are, you know, were little, they were fighting or arguing, Alfredo didn't want to be a part of that. He might go to the room, pray, because he doesn't want to come in and kill them. And then that kind of tends, that to me was like, well, he's not helping me. He's running away. And that, as women, we kind of perceive it incorrectly, because we're thinking his motive is this, when in reality he was in the room praying because he didn't want to come out and kill everybody. So, you know, all that to say is chaos does also separate relationships.
And as you get home, men, many times we start thinking of all the ways we're going to be served when we get home. Remember, your ministry begins when you get home. You know, you've been a blessing to everyone else outside of home. now it's your job to be a blessing to the people you love the most and that need you the most, more than your boss. Be prepared. Prepare your heart to be a blessing, once again, to serve, not to be served, because then we're going to be disappointed. You're going to think, you know, many times your wife's going to run, "You're home, children, gather around," you know, birds chirping and like Snow White comes out. And then and she sees you, "You're home, you know, help me wash dishes and stuff like that." And I'm not saying her voice would be like that, but I'm just saying, you know, it's completely different than how you expect it, because at that moment, she needs your help. I mean, life has been going at 100 miles per hour. She needs your help, and she's been doing it without you. Now, great, you're home. And now that you're home, man, it's your job to... Now, mom no longer disciplines. You're disciplining because you're home. Because it's easy for her to become the bad guy all the time. She's a disciplinarian, and you're the fun guy. You're the fun dad. And if you never discipline, that's all you'll ever be seen as, and she's the bad guy, and it's your fault. You need to get home and you need to start helping with disciplining. You should never defer them to mom once you're home. She should defer them to you. And there should be some fear. If they don't fear you, there's a problem there. You're not very consistent and you don't discern what is wrong. You should be able to discern. Disrespect should be something to get disciplined for. Disrespect, they should not disrespect your spouse. And you should not allow that. That is, anything that is moral, that is sinful, that you should not allow. Lying, discipline. Disrespect, discipline. There's a space for grace, but they should be able to discern what is very what is wrong and what is right, or what is a serious offense, and what is not a serious offense. And you should always be the one that's bringing down that discipline, because you're home. You're home. Some practical suggestions. We got a few minutes. Encourage the spiritual growth of your spouse. Men, if there's a ladies' activity, encourage her to go, which that means you would take care of the children. Amen. That's a good thing. Some of my greatest experiences, greatest memories were with my children when my wife was at a ladies' activity. That's when we did what mom would never allow in the house when she was home. I mean, we had, I remember I put Cheerios on the table, and I filled my son's face with peanut butter. And we tried to see who could pick up more Cheerios with our face. And we just had a lot of fun. It's fun. We had some great, great times because that was my bonding time with my kids. Don't be afraid to spend time with your kids. I've seen at church that many times men don't encourage their wives to go participate, even ladies' retreats, because they're afraid to spend time with their kids. That should not happen. Those are great bonding times. Encourage spiritual growth in your spouse. She needs that break also, just like you do. Encourage that spiritual growth in your spouse. Encourage activities that promote spiritual growth. See the need of the spouse and serve them to make their load lighter, which at times may mean that some roles may bleed into the others. I mean, some men have a problem washing dishes. I don't have a problem washing dishes. I don't mind washing clothes. I'll help my wife. I want to be a blessing to her. It's not just that she just washes dishes. I used to change our kids' diapers because they're my children too, you know. If it grosses you out, just get over it. I mean, you're trying to be a blessing, you know. You should know how to. I mean, even I remember one of the first times I put the diaper backwards, you know, but you learn through it. Just participate. It helps. It helps them. It helps your children too. And you're modeling what one day you'll see, and what you'll see, what they'll see, what you'll see them do with their children. When you discipline your children, talk to them. Something like she said. Sometimes, if one of my children misbehaved, you know, in a way that just maybe frustrated me, I would send them to the room first. I would be calm. Never discipline your children, correct your children while you're upset, when you're mad. I'll send them to the room. Then I would go, and I ask them, "Do you understand why you're going to get disciplined?" Because sometimes they think they offended in one way, and it wasn't that. That's not the offense. And it gives me an opportunity to correct it. No, this is why you're getting disciplined. And then I would say, I'm gonna spank you. And we would have, they had this thing called a Band-Aid. It's this little flexible rubber thing, and it stings. It should hurt. It shouldn't laugh after you spank them. So I would tell them the amount of time they're going to spank them. That way they know it's under control. It's not just when I get tired or when I feel better, you know. All right, I feel better. And your son's just a mangled mess there, no? It's always under control. I'll tell him, like, I'm going to spank you 5 times for this reason. And then I'll spank him. And then I'd ask him, so why did I spank you? I want to make sure they understood. And they tell me, you're exactly right. And, you know, it's my job to help you one day be a godly man, a godly young lady. And I love you. I don't like doing this, but I have to because God has asked me to do this so you could become that godly man or a godly young lady. And I'd give them a hug. And if I feel them tense up and angry with me, I would have to talk to them because then they didn't understand that they did wrong. They think I'm the one that's wrong. And we'll go through it again. I talk to them. Why are you upset? Do I need to spank you again? And if they're still upset, they're still wrong. Don't just accept that. You need to get them to the point where they humbly accept that they were wrong. And then I give them a hug if we were good. And you know what? Many times I found that they were much more loving towards me afterwards. Because they know they needed that. And they know that I'm showing them boundaries and love. Kids want boundaries. Kids want structure. And they want to know that they're loved. Adjustments are constantly made according to the need of the family and individual. And our main goal is to please God, not other people. Please God. As much as possible, something that's helped us is that once the kids go to bed, we talk. We stay up and talk. We conversate. That helps me. I know that helps her. Or at least I think that helps her. But that helps me to know where she's at, how she's doing. My day off is on Thursdays. So something we kind of have is going to have breakfast somewhere where the kids probably wouldn't like anyways. They'd complain about it. So we just kind of go and have breakfast by ourselves. And we got to kind of try out new places. But that's our one-on-one time. That helps us a lot. It helps us connect. And I know I need it. I need to feel connected to my wife. I need to know where she's at. And I love spending time with her. And it helps me draw closer to her. So that spending one-on-one time. And when your kids are little, sometimes it's more mom than dad. Not always, but sometimes. Mom doesn't want to let them go. But for the sake of your relationship with your husband, let them. If you have babysitters, praise the Lord. We don't have any family here. So that's not something we had the pleasure of or privilege of. But if you have family here and you have plenty of babysitters, please take advantage of them. If they're trustworthy, take advantage of them because you got gold. You got gold. Not everybody has that. So you could spend that one-on-one time with your spouse. Look for opportunities to bless the other person and read books on learning how to raise your children and on your marriage. Slow down. Spend time as a family. Slow down. Life in Southern California, especially in Los Angeles, is fast. Slow down. Don't just look for more things to do just to look for more things to do. Look for less things to do so you could spend more time, quality time together. And spend time in prayer to see things correctly. Pray for your spouse and pray with your spouse. Anything you want to add to that?
I wanted to say that many times you look at these things that Fellow taught and you think, okay, well, I'm doing that one, I'm doing that one, I'm doing that one, and I'm doing that one, and there's still this disconnect. And I think when you get to that point, you just have to come to a realization where you just have to kind of face each other. You have to come to each other and say, okay, we're not seeing each other. We're not seeing eye to eye, we're not connected, and you can't run from those conversations. They're very hard to have. They can break your heart. You can feel like you're on the verge of, my goodness, my marriage is on the verge of divorce. But if you don't go there and if you don't have those honest conversations to say, okay, we are reading our Bible, we're training our kids, and we're doing everything, and still things are not going the way we expect them to be, then that means that there's something that you're not dealing with. You have to talk it out. You have to cry it out. You have to be honest. You have to be able to articulate. You have to be able to, the husband's got to take it to where whatever the wife is feeling. And the wife has to hear the husband. Many times, you know, I don't want to hear that Alfredo feels a certain way about what I like to do. And in my family, we didn't grow up apologizing. Never did we apologize. So saying I'm sorry is very, very hard for me as a woman. I've had to learn when we have those conversations that are very needed, because you have to see who you just have to see, like, okay, I'm not looking at you. I don't see you. And then on top of the fact that I don't see you, now I have to be honest. And it might hurt his feelings. I don't want to hurt him. But if you don't go there, it's not going to get solved. So all of these things that he's taught are very good principles and very good things to put in your life to protect you. And if you're praying, at the end of the day, you're still going to be your flesh. You're still going to carry that sinful nature, and you have to face that. So, you know, if I could encourage having those hard conversations. Like he says, we stay up, at night talking. And sometimes we've stayed up till 3 a.m. talking. We don't fight, we don't argue, we don't yell. We've talked and cried and dealt with what we're going through. We've realized, okay, maybe we need to cut this out, and maybe we need to cut that out. And then once we dealt with all of that and realized, that's when we started doing these Thursday afternoons that we're very blessed with, because not every couple gets that, to be able to have every Thursday morning together. But that doesn't mean that you can't have it. You can once a month, hey, mom, dad, friend, you know, can you keep the kids? Because, you know, we need to go talk. And then get away. Even if you get away and you think it's going to be a romantic, weekend, it might not be a romantic weekend. It might be one of those hashing out weekends where you need to have it. You know, say what you need to say, because it's going to save your marriage. It's going to save you as a woman to say, okay, my husband cares enough about me that we locked ourselves in a hotel room. Instead of it being a romantic weekend, it was, I'm going to heal my marriage weekend. So that's something that every marriage goes through. I know you guys don't want to see the pastor and his wife say that, but we do. You go through it. It's important to have to face each other and say, okay, let's be honest. Because, we're doing all of this. He preaches the word of God. I teach the word of God. I've raised my kids in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, but we're still not there. So you got to have those.
And your kids are going to make their own decisions. It's not 100% foolproof that just because you instruct them and do all this, that they're going to always choose the right path. That's why we need to come back and depend on the Lord and pray for their heart. Pray that they would choose the right path or correct their path. But that's why we need to be strong, because in those moments, we could divide, and we need each other. And so when you have those hard conversations, don't take it personally, men. But you need to learn how to be honest also, because then you get bitter. And if you find yourself jabbing at your wife, jabbing with, in conversation, joking, but you're jabbing, you need to deal with something. And you need to talk to her about whatever you're holding in your own heart. Because that's not joking. You're hurting her. And your job is to protect her. Well, I think we ran out of time. So I hope this helps. I hope some things that were shared could be a help. But if you don't mind, I'm going to pray, and then we'll close up. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your grace. Because, Lord, without it, Lord, it'd be impossible, Lord, to really serve you like we should. I pray, Lord, for your grace upon every family represented here. And I pray, Lord, that your grace and your favor would be upon them and upon their home. And I pray, Lord, that they would seek you individually and seek you as a family, Lord. And I pray above all, Lord, that we would remain faithful to the day you call us home. And I pray that something that was shared today, Lord, could be a help in the time of need. We ask you, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.